up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know, that's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Now, let's cut to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown.
Well, in workplace action, Jacks. I'm Tom Ricky on the board. SP Futures up 850, NASDAQ Futures up 58. We're trying to come back here from yesterday's, huge sell-up. We made almost half of that back during the day as people try to talk ourselves out of the problem, and some people think we have. And to straighten everything out, we have Professor Carl with us this morning. Carl, how are you?
I am doing well, thank you.
As you can imagine, in my feeble brain, I have questions bouncing off every side of it.
Well, that's nothing new.
No, it isn't. It's nothing new. I needed to live a different life, Carl. I just took one way of doing things. I just have one set of questions. But given the fact that I was at Pullman for a while, it was kind of talked to engineers all day long and the way they thought, and then I was on the trading floor and learned how the people there thought. I'm like as mixed up. I'm like a terrier poodle or something mixed together. You know, I can't believe that. First question is that somebody. You seem to have sniffed this out a while ago. Somebody evidently gave this AI thing that surfaced yesterday from China. What's the name of the thing?
DeepSeek.
Somebody at Davos evidently gave some speech Wednesday talking about it, warning about it. And my question is, what the hell happened to Thursday, Friday? Why did it take to Monday for people to wake up?
Well, so two words. The first one is collusion, and the second one is fraud.
Okay.
And this is, you know, I it was a couple of years ago. I talked about this on the show when it happened. I was invited as part of a panel discussion, academic, bunch of eggheads. Okay. You know, I mean, that's what those guys do, right? They suck down NSF grant money and think. At least in theory.
That's what I should do. It'd be a think tank. What do you do all day? You just think and have lunch?
This was sponsored by a consortium that does high performance computing. Okay. I mean, that's, you know, that stuff, by the way, goes all the way back to when I had gotten out of high school and was in college. The Michigan area one is called Merit. They were one of the original entities that built the part of the internet that was for educational use. Okay, so they were one of the direct descendants of the original DARPA work. That by the way, the reason the internet, the protocols were originally built was because we thought that Russia and the United States were going to nuke each other. And if we got nuked first, there had to be enough left that we could coordinate actually nuking them back.
Okay. Well, I can understand that, sure.
Well, right. So the protocol was designed in such a way that even in the event of a nuclear war, that it would still work. Okay? That it would basically find a way around the damage if there was anything at all left. Right? And you could at least get your missiles out of the silos. Which, you know, I mean, that's... This, by the way, is one of the reasons that it works as well as it does. Okay, now, of course, it was crude at the time. Better thinking has, you know, has taken place over the years and yada, yada, yada. But the, but that was the original, you know, the original impetus for all of this. But these entities, of course, you know, now we have commercial internet. And there was a great deal of resistance to that being commercialized. I was in the middle of that. I was in the middle of that war. And obviously, I was on the commercial side because that's what I did. Okay. Yeah. But there was an awful lot of pushback from the research and education side of the table. And the interface, of course, on that research and education side is mostly funded by the government. Therefore, people like Ira Magaziner, I don't even know if the guy's still around, may he rest in urine when the time comes. I use the P word, but I'll choose not to. Because, frankly, people like that, as far as I'm concerned, deserve the absolute worst things that could ever possibly happen to a human being for some of the things that they have done over the years. But be that as it may, we ended up with what we have now. All right. Well, AI at its core is artificial, but it is not intelligent. But to give you an idea of what just happened, I'll give you an analog.
Okay, up just here. You and Kevin talk pretty much on the same plane that ever since, you know, the invention of, you know, computers and so forth, it's always been we have a good way to process stuff. We don't have enough way to store stuff. Then okay, now we get more stuff we can store. Then the process catch up. Is this just another iteration of a long period, or is this something that's totally revolutionary?
Well, it's sort of another revolution of the crank, if you will, in that the storage capacity and the cost of storage has. What you can buy for a dollar has exponentially improved, and not just in capacity, but also in performance, in speed. Okay, many things. So, one of the things that used to come up in the, you know, in the world of mainframes, you had storage, the disk storage that was immediately accessible was extremely expensive, and the machines that actually held those disks were the size of washing machines. Okay, and they had very limited capacity. So the vast majority of longer-term data was on tape. And that wasn't because people wanted it on tape, because tape is slow and it's sequential. If you want something that's at the end, you have to, you know, forward the tape all the way through all the rest of it, right? That takes time. But one of the things that used to happen is that you had, if you wanted to run a query on this set of data, you had this problem with intermediate results, because what if I want information from this chunk of data and information of this chunk of data, and I want the intersection of these things, okay? And that's what I'm trying to find. Well, in a machine that has limited storage and limited capacity to actually process all stuff at once, you got yourself quite a problem here, because you have to read that all of that data, do the sieving on the first thing. Now, where do you put that?
So this is like if you see on TV, you know, cross references the people who are this age with this many people with this driver's license, this hair color, and something, and
right,
yeah, that kind of thing.
Right, and oh, by the way, that use this drug, okay, that have been prescribed this drug, okay, which is a completely different set of information, right?
Right,
but from a driver's license, so. The problem with this generally is that, all right, so I get the first set of filtering on this thing, and then I have to put it somewhere. Well, the somewhere exceeds the amount of memory that the computer has. So you can't just sit on it in the memory and then go iterate over the second. So that won't work. So, but one of the, this became a solved problem quite a long time ago. And in modern databases, what we would call this is an outer join. So in other words, I don't have to actually read through the whole thing and stash the intermediate results somewhere, because all of these tables have indexes. Hopefully they're indexed on the things I want that I care about. And therefore the machine just has to grab the kernel of that particular intersection, whatever it is, okay? Now, it's going to have to read through the data in some form, but we've learned how to optimize that too. All AI really is, when you boil it down, is pattern matching. It's this kind of sieving with a weight on the intermediate results. So instead of being, yes, that's true, it's, well, this has a probability of 0.425, okay? And you go through and you iteratively refine this thing. And that's the essence of how this stuff works.
So it's a lot faster, and it's faster, and it stores data better.
Well, but when you start building systems like this, part of the problem is that everybody has been looking at this as, I have to have petabytes of data to feed this thing. I have to have, of course, the ability for the machine to crunch that, which means it has to be very large and very consumptive of electricity. And all of this is necessary for this particular process to take place. Well, what the guys at DeepSeek figured out, and by the way, the back history on this is rather interesting. Now, I will caution that because this came out of China, there is the possibility that any part of this is complete BS. Because the Chinese are not exactly the most open people on the planet, and they're known to lie. And so anytime that I see anything that comes out of that country, my initial impression is, that's nice, prove it. Okay?
Yeah.
However, in this particular case, some of this has been validated in that they went further than just nuking all these guys that have been out here telling us that, you know, the future of so-called artificial intelligence. Someday I want to get some of these guys in a room, tie them up, and pull their fingernails off.
By the way, I got on YouTube last night, and there must be 15, 20 reports on TV. In one day, everybody's an expert.
Yeah, this is part of the problem, is that this is all coming from one place, and this is part of the perversion, Chief, that happens when you get cartel behavior that sets up in an industry, and we've become essentially that writ large. Remember, the Biden administration put forth essentially a thing from government that we must have safety and security within artificial intelligence, and the government is going to oversee all of this, and apparently told folks like Mark Andreessen, don't put money into research on this, because if you do and you go in the direction we don't like, we're going to step on you. All right. Now, I don't know whether that's, again, I don't know if that's true or if that's, you know, people on the right that, you know. That
just, well, it seems like any kind of advance, and this is I come at it from the economic side, which is maybe the half-assed way of doing it, but that's what I know.
Well, no, it's not.
But it seems like the idea of somebody with an idea, taking the idea forward, going to the capital markets, which I've spent my whole life in, finding, you know, floating stock, getting bonds, doing those kinds of things, selling your case,
right,
getting your $1 trillion from the market, or $300 million or whatever the hell it is, wherever you need to start, is the world that I think sets us apart from someplace else. And I've been mentioning, and maybe scattered, that this somehow seems to change. Your first call is not to your investment house, it's to the freaking governor or somebody, or the
yeah, that
to me is going down the wrong road. That's very fascist-esque, by the way. I'm not talking about railroad cars and DACA.
Absolutely. But Chief,
it's fascist economic system.
But here's the other problem with this, okay? What DeepSeek put into stark relief for everybody is, you know, you've probably heard the example, and those who haven't had a formal economics class maybe have not, but the think tank economists, okay, if you take an economics class, one of the things they will tell you is that we don't actually need anti-monopoly laws. And the reason is someone will always defect. So if you have 10 guys that all sell carpet, and they all get together in a room, and they say, all right, we're going to jack up the price of carpeting by 25%. But our cost hasn't gone up at all, right? And we're going to make a ton of money because, by God, that's an extra 25 points of margin, right? Not basis points, points.
Yep.
And oh, by the way, this makes us all rich. However, the only way this works is if all 25 of those dudes do it, right? And the classical economic theory on this is that even though it's illegal under 15 U.S.C. Chapter 1 and, you know, all that, nobody will take this threat seriously of doing it because one of those guys 3 days later is going to say, you know what, I can do it for 24%, right? And I could screw everybody else, and I get all the money because I get all the business. And everybody else starves, and now I'm the one guy standing. And as soon as the first guy defects, that entire scheme collapses.
Well, let's do me a favor. Let's push that conversation to Friday because I actually have a lot to say on that because, as you can imagine, Milton Friedman, all he talked about was that. Here's the thing that we need to talk about at length because I want to stay on this other subject. But
right.
Is that until the government gets involved, which is I think where you're going. He even wasn't all that worried about the Arab countries keeping OPEC together. He goes that the discipline, there will always be cheating, there will always be leakage, which there was.
Right.
You know, but if there was a higher authority, if the UN said, okay,
then you
guys get to do it, then all of a sudden it's different.
All right, so Chief, so think about...
Which is where you're going, I think, with this. They get the government involved, and the government thinks it's their project.
Right, well, think about, you know, green energy.
Yeah.
It's five times as expensive as using coal or natural gas, but you got to do it, because otherwise we're going to throw your ass in jail and you can't sell your cars. So, I mean, you know, this kind of stuff is all over the... Now do medicine. Oh, all right. Well, guess what? This stuff got into computing, and not just at a government level, but here's the problem with this. This came ultimately from the corruption in the educational process. It used to be, decades ago, that to get a doctorate, to get an actual PhD, you had to break new ground in your field. Your thesis could not rehash somebody else's crap. You had to actually come up with something that nobody had ever done before. It was hard.
Which is hard to do.
That's hard,
yeah.
All right, in any field. But that was the gateway. I mean, now you could get a master's because, you know, master's, as it implies, is mastering the existing art, right? I mean, that's what the word implies. But to get a doctorate, you were supposed to have had to break new ground in your field of study that nobody else had done before. You had to demonstrate true independent thought, not synthesis, true independent thought, something new. And that is that. Even back when I was working for other people, Chief, long before I was running my internet company, I can tell you with absolute certainty that was gone in the computer field. Okay, that was absolutely gone. Some of the worst and most corrupt people that I ever had the displeasure of having to work either with or for or whatever have you were people that had those three letters after their names, and they were absolutely unearned. And it was pervasive even back in the 1990s. So anyone that thinks that this is a new problem, that boy, oh boy, is it not. All right, it's 30 years worth
okay,
of
so,
rot.
All right, so we've got
So what guys. You've got is a cadre of people who all think it has to be done one way.
All right,
okay.
We're going to go through this, I won't say ad nauseum, but hugely on Friday. But I get that. I'm trying to get that part because, you know, nobody I like love listens to more than you. But... two things pop into mind. One is, yesterday you had, you know, the numbers of our guys. I mean, Carl, you've talked about people buying friggin' nuclear reactors to find power to stuff, and you've got zillions of dollars in this mess. Guys like Bezos and people, and all of a sudden, some guys come out and say, "Okay, for $6 million in cheaper machines, we duplicated the whole thing, and by the way, it's better." I mean. One thing pops into my mind, we might be lame, but we can't be that lame.
Well, here's the problem. All this grant money and all this funding and all of this employment and all of these people, when you rot something from the head, what you end up doing is that you, I'm sure there are people within the within, you know, America who looked at this. I never dug into AI coding. Okay, I just never did it. Why? Well, because I didn't feel like throwing a couple of million dollars on the table in order to, you know, to buy the hardware to actually do something somewhat useful. That these guys have done this does not make this something that you can do on your desktop today. Right? There's a handful. There are, by the way, and one of the reasons that I believe this is that they open sourced the software.
And what does that mean exactly?
That means that anybody can download it, compile it, and use it. Okay.
But how deep can you get into it? Can you see the code?
Well, yeah. All
really? Wow.
So here's the thing.
Well, our guys must be looking at that going, what the bleep?
This is why this is nuclear, okay, in terms of its toxicity to the existing paradigm. The thing is that there are a handful of people out there, not very many, but there are people who have desktop-style machines, things in their house, things in their office, that are big enough to be able to run usable slices of these data sets. And they didn't buy them for this purpose. They bought them to do things like the transcoding and production of movies, independent movies. Okay, because for that kind of thing, to do it in a reasonable amount of time, you have to have that kind of computing power. And so these are they have large investments in this stuff. It's not cheap. All right, don't kid yourself. More than it would be worth it for me to buy because I don't have a use case for it.
Okay, we only have a few, but look, answer me this one. I know, like I say, we could talk about this for, and I'm incredibly curious. Anywhere you wanted to take this, I'd be willing to go because it's stuff I don't know. Well, answer me this, Lucy. How is it that all these different? Yesterday was one of the oddest days I've ever seen in my life in the business here. We had people that were obviously getting hurt, but somehow or another, everybody had a list of people that were getting benefit. Now Apple's way up.
That makes no sense.
But then was it Meta? My first instinct, being the conspiracy guy that I am, is somehow Apple helped us. That they're part of this. Now why? Where every retail stock in the world up? Why was the medical community up? Why was telephone up? Do they get to buy the crap cheaper now? What is the logic of that?
There is no logic to it, other than that the money has to go somewhere. All right.
Yeah, but you can't get on that road. This idea that people are selling NVIDIA. NVIDIA, buying Home Depot. NVIDIA lost $500 billion in market cap yesterday. The money's gone. It's not there.
Well, I understand that, but people saw that going, okay, and fled out of there. And then, all right, now what do I do with that balance? Well, the market is never going to go down, therefore I don't want 4% in treasuries.
Okay, but you're...
Chief, if you think that people buying Home Depot bought it because they think that Home Depot's, you know, going to somehow benefit from this because they'll have cheaper stock management.
Well, that's
or something
what I'm asking.
Like
I'm asking why well, did okay, they? I don't get
but,
it.
But let's say that that's, you know, that that was your thesis, right? Okay. Well, have you gone into the Home Depot in Chicago lately?
Yeah,
the one closest to your house.
Yep.
Where the hell are all the Mexicans that were there?
Well, those guys were never buying. They were outside looking for a job.
Well, I understand that, but guess what? The aisles are half empty, and why? All right, how about Walmart? You're going to buy Walmart? Well, go down into Southern California, walk through those stores. It's a ghost town. So there's no logic that actually passes the more than 15-second sniff test. What you've got is 500,000.
Well, I mean, I just want to, before we got a dash here, but I just want to kind of debunk the idea that when NVIDIA is down $25 like it was yesterday, now it came back, it's up $3 today, that somehow that transaction creates money to go somewhere else because somebody sold it and somebody else bought it.
Well, no, but it went down before it happened. So, yeah, yeah. That money went poof.
Yes.
Right. And that's, you know, that's why I always say whatever number you got on a sheet, unless it's in cash, it's, yeah, okay, it's not real. But the thing that goes with this is, And you're not going to, this is just like the first, you know, you had two hedge funds in 2007 that blew up, right, in the summer.
Yep.
Two little tiny hedge funds. And anybody with a brain in their head, and I was doing analysis at the time because I'd already been keyed up on this when WaMu reported so-called earnings in the first quarter, and they were paying more dividends out. They were paying more out in cash dividends than they were actually had an operating cash flow. That's not going to last forever. You're going to go broke if you do that forever. So that was what a key be up on the whole dislocation was coming.
Again, we'll kick around. I mean, you know what else I want to talk about on Friday because we have an hour.
But here's the thing that goes with this, though, Chief. You saw the first little seismic, you know, the little rumble, right? Just like we saw in 2007.
We had a client that lost a bunch of money in one of the Bear Stearns sponsored fund.
Yeah.
And I never put two and two together that I thought it was an off-balance sheet, one-off deal. I never thought Bear Stearns was in that bad of shape.
Oh, no. I smelled that one coming back, and I was writing on it at the time. I was all over that thing when it started. And the thing is, this is the same sort of tectonic shift. You now have folks out there, they're all over social media. There's a couple of people that are saying, oh, these guys actually, they cheated. They didn't actually do this. They've got a bunch of H1.
Well, there was somebody last night that was actually, all right, we got a dash. I think the other two guys are here, but hang in for the Aaron real quick, what's the cost difference between the 1,000 chip and the 800 chip these guys supposedly used?
Well, it's not just the cost difference per chip, it's the number of them. These guys had on the app, and this was validated by actual people paying, they were charging, and still are, about 3 or 4% of what the other AI guys were charging for you to run queries.
Well,
so
all right, well,
The only way that doesn't pencil is if the Chinese government is underwriting it.
Well, they've done that before.
Well, is why I said anything that comes out of China is instantly suspect, okay? But there you are.
All right, bud. If we don't see you back, we'll talk Friday. Because I also want to talk to you about maybe we'll ask Bill on at the same time. Talk about the difference between the insurance price that people are going to get in California for their house and Bill rebuilding it with the new codes. It's got to be a big spread there.
Oh, this is the whole California thing is, yeah. Yeah.
All right, we got time to talk about that. SP Futures up 3. SP Futures up 15. You want to go right to Joel?
He's not here.
I don't see him yet. We can go on a quick break, though.
Well, why don't you hang on, Carl, in case he doesn't pile in. SP Futures up 2 and SP Futures up 15. Real quick break.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Here, right now, right here.
Blown up big Stocks and Jocks. I'm talking about Ricky on the board. SP Futures up 350. NASDAQ Futures up 15. They were up a hell of a lot more when I came in. I'm going to say the NASDAQ was up 100, and the S&P was up about 15, so it's sliding back towards even here. We'll see how that continues to roll. European stocks, they're up a little bit. Well, DAX up 120. That's 0.6%. FTSE up 39.5%. CAC around up 15.2%. They didn't get hit as hard as we did yesterday. Got hit some, but not... And ours was very uneven because some spots, we actually had a couple clients that had like 8 or 9 stocks in their portfolio. They were all up. So it was kind of a very bizarre day. Nikkei down 548, that's 1.4%. Hang Seng up 27, still over 20,000, 20,225. Shanghai down 2. Shanghai is very quiet the last 2 days. With all this stuff going on around the world, those guys aren't even moving. Yesterday, Dow was actually up 289. Like I was saying, some stocks were way up, Home Depot and some other ones. S&P down 88, NASDAQ down 612, that's 3%. So say it was a mixed day is an understatement. Bonds up 4 basis points, 4.57, they were down yesterday. The Bund up 2 basis points, 2.55. Japan down 1, 1.20. We've got oil, been quiet, 73.80, up 63 cents. Seems now have landed in this low to mid-70s here maybe for a couple of weeks, and maybe that's the new range. Ran up 69 cents, 77.77. Natural gas down a dime, 3.59 as the weather seems to be getting a little better. When I say better, warmer. RBOB up one cent, 204. At gold was down yesterday's bouncing back some, up 860, 2747. Silver up 13 cents, 3055. Foreign exchange, which is starting to move the other way. The euro's back under 105, 104. So the dollar is dollar is up a little bit as a couple days ago. Again, it's been pretty volatile. The British pound, 124.3. Crypto, yesterday took a big hit. Coming back today, up 1,700 to 102.602. A lot of stuff there, Ricky. What do you got for us, Trevor? Weather sports.
Morning, Chief. It's currently 6:36 a.m. here in Chicago. 30 degrees right now with a high of 44, which is surprisingly nice weather for Chicago, at least recently, you know, for the past couple of weeks. Partly sunny and increasingly windy. Tonight will be mainly clear and breezy with a low of 34 degrees. Phoenix, Arizona, 44 degrees right now with a high of 62. Cool with some sun. Tonight will be mainly clear and chilly with a low of 39 degrees. Let's go to traffic in Chicago. Iman Kennedy from Monroe's, 10 minutes. We're looking at 22 minutes. Iman Edens from Lane Cook. Iman Eisenhower from Wolf, 20 minutes. 18 minutes, Iman Dan Ryan from 95th, and Stevenson from 24 to the Dan Ryan, 22 minutes. Lastly, let's talk about sports. Yesterday, Bulls win 129 against 121 for Denver Nuggets, and the Suns also beat the Clippers 111 to 109. Today we got Blackhawks playing at Lightning at 6 p.m. in Tampa, Florida. And lastly, NFL. Last Sunday, Eagles and Chiefs both punched a ticket to the Super Bowl. Eagles beating Commanders 55-23, and the Chiefs beating Bills 32-29. Kind of a controversial victory, but this marks a third straight appearance for the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Back over to you, Chief.
Do we have Joel?
Yes, we do.
Joel, how are you, buddy?
Oh, Chief, how you doing today?
All right, the rumor is that you were in Davos, heard that guy talk about this DeepSeek, and had spent 2 days shorting NVIDIA, and the rest of the world found out about it yesterday.
Over a month ago, I got that information. Actually, it was floating out there, I think in December, that they were working on it. But holy macro, did that shake up the markets. An interesting day yesterday. Chief, I heard you commenting on it, and I heard you give the Dow, and I heard you talk about the NASDAQ. I mean, if yesterday is just not characteristic of this market, if they're selling something, they're buying something else. And of course, you know, S&Ps were down a lot, NASDAQ was down a lot, Dow was up. This is just the market of rotation. And if you can identify those rotations as they happen, I mean, that's just the environment that we're in. The money's got to go somewhere. And I mean, did you see Apple yesterday?
Yeah, that's what I mean. It was. It's been down lately.
Yes.
But maybe yes. People get some kind of everybody, not everybody, but it seems like everybody's convinced. I keep using that word, and I shouldn't be. That if a stock is moving, you know, my buddy Dr. J but he was one of the first people that identified this stuff. You have all kinds of what I would consider to be momentum traders. That as soon as the stock starts to move up or down, people just assume other people know what they're doing, and they pile on. We have some of those guys that use our IB platform and do that. I mean, sometimes they do very well. I mean, it's not something we necessarily.
Machines, Chief.
But
it's the machine.
You know,
The
fact that when I saw Apple up yesterday, I immediately thought somehow they must have helped with this. They must be involved in it. I mean, I'm sitting there, why would Apple be up on something that looks like it's not so good for?
Well,
any
you know
of these
what? You know what I thought? You know what I thought when I looked at Apple? I looked at it went from 260 to 220.
Yeah.
Right? While the market was making all-time highs, your biggest component of the index, right? You have earnings coming up, right? Which they always seem to always beat, but whether it's a beat is not big enough, right? It is trading at a historically high valuation. But the first thing that came to my mind is that everyone is complaining that Apple's been behind in the AI. Well, maybe it's the fact that they haven't been spending as much money on the AI and they don't have as much exposure as some of these other companies as far as the money they've spent on R&D. Also, it's been moving inverse the SPY lately, the S&P lately. So that was just a classic day, you know, pre-earnings run-up. You know, maybe they weren't. Maybe their AI strategy is not too bad. But
your healthcare and your retail and your transportation average were to the moon.
Yep.
Which is really bizarre when the first thing that starts out in the morning is one company loses $600 billion in value. It's kind of
And what's the theme? What's the January theme, right? Leaders to laggards, laggards to leaders. Who was a what was a major laggard in 2025? Nothing else but the XLV, the healthcare S&P spider, ended the year. I mean, this is having one hell of a year. Ended the year at boom, 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 137.57. It's up at 147 now. So it's just your classic rotation, Chief.
Well, you don't suppose if you're, you know, a deep, dark conspiracy theorist, is as soon as the Fed or somebody sees this thing happening yesterday morning, they immediately pour money in the system.
That finds
its way to other stocks. I mean, I saw no reason yesterday for Home Depot to be up like 3%. I mean, people going shopping on a Monday morning? I don't think so.
Well, you know what the correlation is for the Home Depot here. I mean, you know, what that moves with is that moves with rates. And, you know, rates were heading lower yesterday. So, you know, a weaker dollar, you know, better rates for Home Depot. So that's why you had to move in some of those stocks is, you know, hopes for rates either to steady or go down.
Well, I know that's these formulas, but we had Nancy on yesterday, and you're still talking 6.85 or something for your mortgage, and that one person walking in their Home Depot has had a drop in their credit card rates since Solomon was here. I don't see where that's coming from. The idea that these guys lower rates and somehow you and I get a lowered rate, would people still believe that?
No. I mean, is inflation going back to 2%, Chief?
I think inflation's going back to like 6.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to go back up that high, but I will say the optimism. I mean, that's what I mean. I totally got caught off guard by the Fed. I thought the Fed pivot was going to be, you know, we're going to be happy with 2.5-3, but instead, I don't know what my head's still spinning from that Powell move what was that, October, or you know, like, oh yeah, rate cuts.
Well, last month, the month they give us, which is so absurd, it's like November, the growth in money supply was 6.7% on an annual basis. That number is due out today or tomorrow for December. And if that number starts to correspond with November, we got a problem.
Chief, I couldn't agree with you more.
And what they're doing that, then you got a guy scurrying into the White House demanding lower rates. I don't know how that's going to play out with the meeting tomorrow and the news conference, because you know they're going to be all over Powell about that. So I don't know how that's going to play out. That'll be an interesting news conference, don't you think?
They all are, Chief. Yeah. They all are.
I mean, what if he... First thing he does, if he holds rates steady, the first question is going to be, the president wants it down, you held it steady, what's going on?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and, you know, I mean, you got... You know, you have a very friendly administration to the market, too, right? I mean, Gulf of America, Gulf of Mexico, whatever you want to call it. I mean, you know, they're going to come out and they're going to defend this market. That's one thing. And the other thing, too, and if you want to talk about conspiracy theories on our end, how about on, I don't know, probably shouldn't be saying this, but how about when the actual release of this DeepSeek was? It was after last week you get a $500 billion, you know, the big brouhaha about all that money that the U.S. is, or these companies are going to spend, and then bam, the following markets are closed on Sunday, S&P's at dinner, come out with that information. I mean, you talk about timing, Chief. I mean, I know you're an options guy.
Well, my first question to Carl this morning, I don't think he ran, was, allegedly, some guy who was in the know over at Davos gave this big speech about this on Wednesday. What happened to Thursday and Friday? Why did we wait till Monday to sell it?
I don't know. It was a young kid, right, that gave that speech?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get to pay attention to it. But I got to hop here. But what I would do, I mean, I've been getting a lot of questions from worried investors about this with the chip stocks. And NVIDIA, your leader out there, I mean, I think what you have to do is you just have to really you got to focus on that price action from yesterday. And I know the street, you know, the analysts came out and they downgraded a little bit. I mean, that was just a double S whooping. I would just focus on that bar from yesterday. I mean, you know, you're off that low at 116.70. That's a new low for the year. It's the lowest it's been since October of last year. I mean, you got to put a base in here. And you got to put in a base. And the fact that the reason I'm think that this might be a little bit bigger deal is that you're really far off yesterday's high. Well, for NVIDIA, $7 isn't that far. But, man, until you can get back over that 128.40, I mean, I don't think that this thing is over. I don't think that if I was an investor in NVIDIA, I don't think that I would be comfortable until this thing got back into the $140 area.
That may never happen.
It never's a long time, Chief.
I know.
Never's
a
long time.
Do you have any? You talked to a lot of people yesterday, and I asked Carl, but I was real late in the interview. These guys supposedly, the people in China that did this. I need to be a little more descriptive here this morning. Their number one chip machine for this is what? Is it 100 or 1,000?
Oh, it's like an Atari 7000 or something.
Well,
it
was, this is the one that the government banned from going overseas, right? And the only companies, I saw a map yesterday, the only countries that can get this machine are like Britain and Australia. We don't even include India in this. And they can't get it. Well, it turns out these Chinese guys that allegedly did this, use one of their chips. A lot older chip that has no, from what I understand, no barrier to export. So not only did they do it, they did it on not even their best and most expensive chip.
And it's not supposed to be as good. So, you know, only time will tell. I'll just say one thing, Chief. All these years being in the markets, all these years investing, all these years following sports, never say never.
Right, oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you got it. Okay, I got a hop. Go Blue. Talk to you next week.
Do we have Kenny?
Yo.
What's up, man?
How are you?
Did you? I'm fine. I couldn't believe yesterday. I didn't see you on there because you don't do stuff like this. I must have saw 30 guys that are all of a sudden experts on this. And I'm trying I'm trying to figure this out. And I got Carl and Kevin and all kinds of people helping me out. And I'm still gaining on it, but I would sure not to say I'm an expert of any kind here. There's a lot of questions.
I'm not an expert of any kind either, but that was clearly the conversation. But I got to be honest with you, and I said it yesterday morning in my note, it's not making sense to me. It didn't make sense to me that the story that they sold was that, you know, this guy that's got a one-year-old startup in China is using inferior chips and spending a fraction of the money and making a product that's so much better. It just didn't make sense to me, and I'm not sure it still makes sense to me, right? Part of me thinks it was a setup that, you know, the whole Chinese government got short NVIDIA on Friday, and then comes out with the story, NVIDIA and the semis get crushed, and they're all buyers yesterday making all kinds of money. Don't even get me started on that story.
Well, you know, you said it, that's why you're on TV and I'm not. You said it much more intelligently. My word to Carl was, we might be lame, but we can't be that lame.
Well, no, I hear you. It just wasn't making sense to me. And I'm not suggesting that, you know, that there's not, that they didn't come up with something or they didn't create a product. Clearly they did. A lot of people are using it. But again, once again, it comes down to the whole story about, okay, it's China. So they're catching every keystroke, everything you do, everything you say. They're taking it. They're watching it. There was a tweet yesterday of some girl that was using to deep seek whatever help organize their finances, and I'm sitting there going, you know, what is the matter with these people? Like, why would somebody do such a thing versus, you know, using like a Quicken or something like that that certainly organizes your finances, right? But it's just amazing to me. It's the whole thing was amazing, and I thought the hysteria was way overdone. I think that's clear today because a lot of it is bouncing back. But look, you know, everyone goes, oh my god, everyone bailed. Well, that's not true. Because for every seller, there's a buyer. So it's for as many people get out, as many people get in, right? And so the people that got in took advantage of the hysteria, right? That people were so hysterical, they're going to run out the door, ran through doors that were closed and just to get out. And so the buyer goes, great, you want out, I'm happy to buy it, but I'm not going to stand here and get run over. I'll buy it down 10 points, I'll buy it. If you want to sell it, I'll be happy to buy it. And that's exactly what happened yesterday, right?
Well, Carl thinks that the difference maker here is that they made it open source. It can't be pulled back. It's out there. You can't get it out of the world.
No, correct. And so to your point, I'm not an expert at all. And yes, it is out there in open source. So yes, it is out there. I get it. But I guess we're going to hear more about this in the days and weeks ahead. Certainly, the story's not going away. I think the part that what I kind of have learned after having some conversations yesterday is that they had a cut back on some things, and it's called pruning, I guess, right, where they prune out parts of the calculation, right? They don't make it as in-depth, and so therefore it may be good at some things, but it's not good across the whole spectrum. And maybe that changes, you know, in time. Maybe that changes because it's out there in open source. And so look, in the end, competition is good, right? You want to see competition because it'll make the cream rise to the top. So I'm not necessarily anti this whole thing, but I have to put it in perspective. It's another Chinese made product, something that I'm not going to use, right? I don't use TikTok. I don't use these things just because I don't. And I don't necessarily think that someone's going to build a business using a Chinese, AI platform that's, capturing every data, every stroke, and every piece of data.
Well, once they go to open source, I guess two things, Kenny. By the way, I'm not supposed to say this on radio. I agree with you 100%. It seems a little kind of bizarre to me, but on the other side, Carl has been involved kind of in a lot of this stuff since day one, because that's what he does. He goes to a lot of these seminars and stuff. And he said, the other AI got to be this massive combination of security and government and who's going to get it and the power. And it became this big, massive mess that ended up way away from any kind of just competitive people putting stuff together because, oh, no, it's so powerful, we can't give it to these people. So the government's been involved in this thing since day one. I mean, and anybody who wanted to do AI had their nose up the ass of government. Could that... that glob of people working, I guess, together be so inefficient that somebody could do something like this?
Well, I mean, I guess the answer to that question is yes, because something happened, right? They created it. Again, I haven't tried it. I don't know it. I have a lot of fun with my own ChatGPT and some of the other ones that are out there. I find them very, very interesting. I was so anti any of this. But now I got to be honest with you. Once you start using ChatGPT, you can talk to it like you and I are having a conversation. I get up in the morning, I go, "Good morning, ChatGPT," and it says to me, "Good morning, how are you? How do you sleep?" It's crazy what it does.
But I mean, it is stunning that even if it's 70% true, that we've got people here buying nuclear facilities and buying the chips that these guys are making that cost a gazillion dollars and nobody else can get them. And blah blah blah, and all of a sudden it seems like you don't need any of that. It's happened before, right? I mean, I remember doing the computers at Allied. I did, but they were on tape. But the ones at Pullman were in a box. They were water cooled. They were $20,000 a month, and all of a sudden, 2 years later, you could buy one and did the work at $10,000. It doesn't surprise me that when things get kind of institutionalized and the security and all the other stuff. That somebody could be just going, well, that's fine. You guys are doing that. I'm just going to take this shortcut and do this. But I have a question for you, though. You guys are way better than me at digging around through the internet, but I do some research once in a while. It seems it's harder and harder to get any kind of information out of the internet. Like there used to be a site I went to, had like every college for the last 40 years, prices, prices in state, out of state, room and board. Everything that I find like that, I sort of can't find now, or there's a firewall, or you got to pay for it, or you got to register. How the hell does this AI blow through all that crap and get all this information out of, like, somebody's, if you go to the state of Illinois, you get all your driver's license, right? Like, that stuff's hard for somebody to get. How does this thing, an open gateway, to get all this information when other people are closing it off as fast as they can?
Listen, I hear you, and I don't know. I don't understand it. I'll be the first one to say, I don't get it. I mean, other than what's publicly out there that it pulls from, but I don't know how it gets some of this other data, which is a little bit concerning. I just don't understand how it does it, though. So I'll be the first one to say I can't really answer that question with any...
I mean, try and research archives of the Tribune and the Washington Post. Good luck. Without paying them or doing something. I mean, how does this thing do it?
I don't know. It doesn't. So to your point, you know, I'm not that smart. I don't get it. I'm not in that space. All I know is that it does it. I mean, it does it with you know, like ChatGPT does it with some clarity. Certainly, there's something sometimes that, you know, I'm not really sure the answer's right, or I'm not really sure, and so I double check things like that. But it is interesting. I asked ChatGPT this morning. I go, "What's up with this DeepSeek?" I said, "Tell me why it's so much better than you." And it said, "It's
what did it say?
It's not better than me."
That somebody must have put that one in there last night.
Oh,
said,
my God. I laughed because I thought to myself, okay, let me just see what it said. Now, it did say that it's, you know, it's a different functionality that they, you know, that they, this is how they got around it, and it doesn't work as good for some things. It works better for other things. It doesn't work as good for conversational stuff. But they, you know, in the end, ChatGPT said, it's not as good as me.
Well, can you imagine if you were the head of whoever ChatGPT asked the same question you did, and it said it's better than we are.
Yeah. Wait, but did you hear that if you go on DeepSeek and you ask it a question about Tiananmen Square, it's got no answer? Or if you ask it a question about the Uyghurs, it's got no answer.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it can't answer any of those questions. Right?
What is it? I mean, I'm not...
ChatGPT, it answers the question.
But now, what does it mean I guess maybe I should ask Carl. What does it ask? He claims that somebody, if you have a really high-end setup, like somebody who maybe does movies and things like that, you can actually take the open source and start using it. You can't use it with a regular desktop. But evidently, the open source, there's nothing that says, from what I understand, from the little bit I've been talking about this, there's nothing that says you can't take it and improve it yourself. Now, those other guys, ChatGPT is not out there.
No, correct. ChatGPT is OpenAI, and DeepSeek was open source. They're two different things, apparently, because I'm just learning it myself. Open source, to your point, is exactly right. It's out there. It's almost like Wikipedia. You know, you can go into Wikipedia and you can update it, or you can change something if you want, right? It allows everybody to get involved. Apparently, open source does the same thing. So people can go in and out, and they can change it, and they can update it, and they can try to make it better or whatever. You can't do that like OpenAI or ChatGPT is not open source.
I think that was the big... I think, and I'll talk to Carl on Friday, if not before, I think that was the big bombshell yesterday, that they open sourced it.
I think that was right. I think that was the bombshell. I think the price was the bombshell, trying to say, you know, we did this for a fraction of the price, so that, you know, when you think about margins at NVIDIA, right, that are so extreme, that those margins would come under pressure if that's the case, right? That here DeepSeek just proved that they can build this product for a fraction. A fraction. They said it only cost them $6 million when everyone else is spending billions of dollars, right? I think that was the other.
Well, it's hard. I don't want to get into politics, but it's hard with all the. I'm continuing to hope that this guy does a good job, but I think the hornet's nest that is buzzing around is not healthy. Never would be healthy. You know, he thinks it's this, you know, New York confrontational thing that I get up, that I win on. I just say it's not my style, but the idea that we have spent, you know, and I'm not sure it's not just the Biden administration, because the same people are probably there when he was there, we spent all this time telling people you can't get this new chips because we don't want you doing AI, and it turns out that these guys did this with a lesser chip that anybody can get. To me, it's about as embarrassing as it gets.
Well, but I got to tell you something. See, I'm not sure I completely believe that story either, because I don't believe a lot that comes out of China.
I'm with you.
I think they're incentivized to lie.
I think I had an if in there somewhere.
Yeah, I think they're incentivized to lie, and so therefore I take everything they say with a grain of salt. So I'm not necessarily sure that I believe that. I think that, because they are using NVIDIA chips. They did say they're using
NVIDIA chips. Yeah, but it's the lower quality one, the one we can't export. I should have remembered this. Is it the T100 or something?
They're using the
T80. They said
you right. Well, that's what they said they're using,
right?
So, you know, again, I think it was all very new. Yes, it hit everybody upside the head. Nobody expected it or saw it coming, which I think is also what created, you know, the hysteria yesterday, right? Because it was like, But I think what's interesting is that you know, a lot of people ran in while people were running out in terms of, you know, sellers versus buyers. But the algorithm and the sellers got so hysterical that the buyers took complete advantage of it. Great, you know, down 15%, I'm happy to buy it from you. And people sold it, and that's great. But today it's up, you know, in the pre-market, it's already up 5 or 6% or something. It'll probably likely go higher again. Because look, I think AI is here to stay. I think NVIDIA is going to be a key player in it. NVIDIA will continue to evolve like everybody evolves. And so I'm in NVIDIA. I didn't panic yesterday. I didn't sell it. I was out to dinner last night with five guys. Everybody at the table said you had to buy NVIDIA yesterday. It was crazy what happened.
So you passed that. So, you passed that guy to check, I assume.
Say it again?
You passed that guy to check, I assume.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, the thing I have about, concern I have with this NVIDIA, I was with a firm, not Pullman, it was Allied Van Lines. Well, actually, and Pullman as well, where they, one of their big suppliers, not suppliers, one of their big customers, somehow had padded the, you know, the backlog. I've read all kinds of stuff about, and there's guys that have done podcasts, you know, podcasts, a lot of them aren't as truthful as we try and be. We're talking about NVIDIA has somehow financed some of their backlog. And, you know, the idea, you have to have this new chip, you have to have this and the other thing. And the thing has such a massively high valuation. I've just been real nervous about it from day one. And you know,
no, I hear you. And listen, and I think part of, we've been talking about it. Tech has certainly been stretched, there's no doubt about it. And so, but you see stuff like yesterday, it shakes the branches a lot, right? It kind of revalues it. Let's just see where it goes from here. I'm hoping it's not going to get stretched again, that'll churn in here a little bit and build more of a base.
Well, I just hope that we have a president who's looking for lower interest rates. I hope we don't, for my clients and you're my benefit and everybody we know, I hope we don't see a massive market sell-off. But I also hope we don't save the market with the rest of the population going back to 6% inflation.
Here's what I think is going to happen, because you know me. I'm in the camp that I think inflation is, in fact, going to rear its ugly head again. I don't think it's going to be 9%, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see it creep up to 4%, 4.5%. I think the idea that Trump is sitting there going, I demand lower rates, I think that's baloney, and he's got to back off because he can't demand anything. And the Fed shouldn't cave, by the way. The Fed should do what the Fed needs to do. And if that means rates stay steady, because that's what I think is going to happen. I don't think we'll get a rate cut this year. I think rates are going to remain steady only because I think inflation is going to start to rear its ugly head.
I know this is, you guys are experienced traders. The one thing might be me being a few years ahead of you, you're never going to get this out of my brain, and you know, until, you know, it's my turn. But I this idea that we can go to 4 or 5% inflation and we can get there on the interest rates, Kenny, I saw it because I had an open the bridge loan with a bank on a condo, and I saw my thing go from 7 to 14 in 6 months. If you lose control of this, I mean, nobody's going to believe me. Nobody's going to take the time to go back and research this. If you start to lose any kind of control, this 10-year rate gets to 4 or 5, and all of a sudden somebody decides to clamp down on the money supply or something, all of a sudden now we can't, or starts like a Volcker thing, it can go from 5 to 8 in a nanosecond. And I don't want to see that ever again, but this idea that we can only get this far and that'll be it. Once inflation gets to 5 or 6, it can get to 10 in a second.
Listen, you and I both lived it. Thank you, a la 1970 and 1980. Yeah. I get it, which is why I think then the Fed prematurely cut rates because they thought they'd slayed the inflation monster and it reared its ugly head. That's why I don't believe the Fed is going to cut rates again, because I think they've already prematurely cut rates. But I think, you know, where we are at 4 and a quarter, 4.5, I think that's okay. I don't think it's restrictive. But I think it's okay, but they need to hold it here. That's why I hope they don't cut rates, because I think that then we're going to get exactly what you and I just said.
Hey, I want to include you. I mean, you, fortunately, you weren't really close to where the hurricane was, but I kind of want to include, we're doing a little bit of a thing. I don't know if you listened last week. My buddy Bill Moriarty was on talking about the California situation, and he brought up something that I guess if I thought about it, maybe I'd have thought about it, but you know, you're saying how this he thinks the rebuild out there is going to be almost like Homestead, which is not good. He said the difference between those homes that got grandfathered in and a lot of the new building codes are pretty dramatic, and they're not going to give anybody any permits for anything that don't have the new building codes. And if and when people get their insurance check, it's probably not going to match the replacement using the new building codes.
Right.
And that's going to be a real serious problem for like a real long time.
Yeah.
And boy, that kind of sucks, huh?
Yeah, I'm still amazed. I'm just still amazed at what even happened. I look at the pictures of the landscape there, and it's shocking to me.
Yeah.
It's also shocking that many people out there didn't have fire insurance, or couldn't get it, or was too expensive, or whatever. But you know, the people that didn't have fire insurance, they're not getting an insurance check at all, right?
How does somebody? I don't know anybody who doesn't have fire insurance. Do you?
Well, I don't know anyone who doesn't have it, but apparently out there in California, people didn't have it, which was amazing to me, right? I know three people whose homes were completely burned to the ground. Not one of them had fire insurance. I'm thinking to myself, what the hell's the matter with you?
Well, what's the...
Why would...
I'll ask, you're from Florida. Oh, you're not from Florida. You're there now, but what is... I mean, let's talk like traders here now. Okay, so now your fire insurance is going to be, or your hurricane insurance, whatever it is going to be $3,000 a year. Your house was worth half a mil, now it's either gone from the hurricane or it's burned down.
Right.
Well, now somebody's going to say, well, so if I put half a mil back in, assuming I get the money, my fire insurance is going to be X. I can't afford it. How about I just buy your property from you for $150, put something up at minimum if I can, and I just won't insure it? Is that the bottom line? The thing that was $500,000 is going to get puked out to, you know, BlackRock or somebody at $250, and they're just not going to insure it?
Well, I hadn't thought about it. Could that possibly happen? I guess it could.
I hope not.
There are some people who said they're not going back clearly. There are others that can't wait to get back there because they've lived there their whole life and they don't want to leave. So they want to rebuild and do all that. So it's going to be interesting to see how this unfolds. But to your point, could you have someone like BlackRock come in the same way they did in the housing crisis when they scooped up all that property for pennies on the dollar? I think it's very possible.
Well, Nancy says nobody who has a mortgage can go without insurance. I mean, you're not going to get the mortgage. So it has to be somebody who can pay cash. And all these people you're talking about that don't have insurance, they must not have had a mortgage. They must have had it all paid for.
They must, yeah. Now, that's interesting. I guess that's going to be true. If you didn't have fire insurance, then you must have owned the house outright.
Yeah, because you know, no way you're getting a mortgage without insurance. They're not taking the risk.
Right. Yeah, right.
Right, but where are you flying off to this week? You're all over the place.
Well, let me ask a question. What if you had a house? What if you had insurance, fire insurance, you had a mortgage on your house, and now your house burnt down? Are you still making mortgage payments? I guess you are,
I think you are.
Or is the bank saying, okay, you don't have to make the payment, we'll just collect from the insurance company?
If you don't have it and you got to rent somewhere else, then if you have insurance, the insurance is probably paying for your other rent.
Yeah.
But they're not going to do that for a decade. I don't know what the limit is on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know either.
More to talk about. Where are you? Are you home this week or are you off?
No, I'm actually in New York City this week because I'm doing my, I recorded my Yahoo podcast that I'm now
hosting. Hey, good for you on that.
I did that yesterday. And I'll be on Fox Business today from 12 to 1 and tomorrow from 9 to 10, and then I'm going home.
I'm gonna have to listen. What time our time? Because the stuff whenever you send me, I can't open the damn thing. Somehow I got this firewall on here that the futures people make us put on here. I can't get into that stuff. So I'm gonna have to watch you live. When are you on?
Yeah. So today I'm on Fox from 12 to 1 for the whole hour as a guest host on the Big Money Show.
Who's the host of that?
That is Brian Brenberg, Taylor Riggs, Jackie DeAngelis, and now Dagan McDowell. They added to the show as well. So and then tomorrow it's Varney from 9 to 10.
Right, so the 12 o'clock is at Eastern or Central?
No, it's Eastern, so it's 11 o'clock.
All right, well, I'm gonna put you in, bud. I like listening.
11
to
1.
All right, you take care of yourself,
I'll see
buddy.
You then.
All right.
Yep. Bye.
SP Futures up 9. NASDAQ Futures up 36. You want to go right to Professor Hale?
Yes, we can.
Hale, you think there's enough? You think there's enough
good
to
morning,
talk
Tom.
About? Good morning. I think there's enough to talk about. Where do you want to start?
Wow, there's a lot of stuff going on, man. Where do you start?
I was so stunned on this first that somebody mentioned it big time at Davos on Wednesday. Nothing happened Thursday, Friday. All of a sudden, yesterday, all hell breaks loose. I think some of that had to be because I don't think people thought they were going to open source it. Carl thinks that was one of the bigger shacks. But now I couldn't believe the stacks that were up yesterday, because some of them were down. I mean, I don't know why the retail community or transportation community all of a sudden had a box office day. And medical stuff, we had a lot of people in the XLV, which is the healthcare part of the Spider. They had their biggest day in forever. I don't get the connection, if there even is one. But I tell you what, every minute was like another new question.
Well, you know, a lot of the issue with the tech stocks, the AI stocks, is a monetary inflation story, right? It's a bubble. We talked about it, you know, often over the last year, that, you know, the Fed pumping money into the system causes inflation. And I think a lot of the movement, the highs that we saw with NVIDIA and other AI companies, chip makers, whatnot, is an inflation story that has been caused by the Fed. And I was looking at, while you guys were talking, I was looking at the M2, the weekly M2. And since last April, it's growing parabolically, which is
not quite geometric,
but it's growing pretty rapidly. And if the Fed does nothing and it just freezes and doesn't change rates, raise them or lower them, if that trend continues, you could have a 12% annual increase in M2 by July.
Well, I've been watching this every month, and I've got it last month, which is November, the number they give us. If you annualize that, it was like 6.8%, which is really high for somebody who's allegedly...
But it can get worse. I mean, it's growing parabolically right now.
Well, it went from 5-point-something to 6.7 on an annual basis, and that's why I'm real anxious to get this number today or tomorrow. If it shows that again, what are these guys doing? They're doing something totally different than they say they're doing.
Yeah. Well, I don't think the Fed ever solved the inflation issue. I don't think they ever did it.
Well, they got down to a growth of about 3% for a while, and then
I still think there's so much money in the system.
Yeah.
So much money sloshing around since the start of the pandemic. And a lot of that has a delayed effect. The Fed, you know, keeps it trapped within the banking system with a price floor that we know the name of. It's called interest on reserves. It's a price floor. They try to keep that inflation bottled up, but as we know, it leaks out out of the banking system to institutional investors.
Once it's in the pool,
go out and buy a lot of things with leverage.
Once it's in the pool, it's hard to keep it contained, right?
Yeah. I mean, just like water overtopping a dam, the water will leak out. And that's what the money's doing. There's a bunch of it behind the dam. It leaks out. It leaks out in the form of loans that are used to buy, leverage loans that are used to buy all kinds of assets. And one of them is stock in these tech companies. And so part of that is the issue. I think what happened is, you know, it's kind of funny that all these EOs that are being signed by Trump, he's everywhere. He gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning. He flies home at 1 o'clock in the morning. He's on a Vegas floor. Davos is going on. He's basically telling them that this, globalism is over. They make this announcement at Davos. Eventually, that announcement, maybe combined with the Chinese announcing that it's open source, pops the balloon that the Fed inflated in these tech companies. And where does that money flow into? It flows into the other sectors. And maybe that's what's pushing up the other stock prices that you mentioned.
Well, right? I think you're probably right.
It's got to go somewhere, right?
Well, the numbers today are still a month behind, which, you know, aggravates the hell out of me. But we kind of chip away at the individual issues. You know, I think we're pretty good at that. We've got people that are pretty darn smart on the show. And I just try and corral you guys. It's like herding cats, Hal. It's like herding cats.
Oh, herding cats is horrible. You know, ask Rocky Balboa about trying to catch one.
So trying to keep you guys focused.
I heard this last night. I don't know where I heard it, but you can tell a dog to sit and that dog will sit. You tell a cat to sit, he'll just look at you and walk away.
Well, I had no interest in listening to you. But the actually, some dogs are like that, depending on the breed. But let's put ourselves in the in the Fed right now. Okay, I mean, I think you'll agree with me on this, Professor. For a government to spend money, they can do it one of three ways. They can tax people for it, which is sort of the legitimate way. They can borrow it, which has its issues, or they can print it. Right? I don't think there's another way, is there? There's only three ways to do this.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
And so you've got a guy who's stuck with a... This has been going on since, you know, Trump can wail all he wants, but the fact is we have massive deficits under his... He almost doubled the deficit. Now, he had COVID, but every... What has been, despite the political people who will come to blows over right or left, George Bush doubled the deficit, Barack Obama doubled the deficit.
It's totally a political.
And Trump was, in one term, damn near doubled it, and Biden in one term, damn near doubled it. So if either one of them would have had two terms, they surely would have more than doubled it. So the idea that one side is this and one side is the other is such crap. I can't even have that conversation. But the now here you are is the Fed. Okay, so you've got a 40% increase in the deficit.
Well, the way we fix that is the Fed's got to be told, look, you're going to grow the money supply at 1%.
Okay, that's where I'm getting. Okay,
quit enabling these yahoos in D.C. Quit enabling it. I mean, right. Can you imagine what California do?
But who the hell?
If they had a Fed, how could, if they had their own Fed?
I know, but who could? Let me finish the question, then you give me the answer. Yeah. What I'm saying is now you've got a 40% increase in the deficit the first 3 months of this year versus last year.
Yeah.
So this particular month, let's say it's $100 billion we're in hack. I don't know what the number is, but say it's $100 billion. I think it's more than that probably. But if it's $100 billion, we're in hack. Right, so you've got a president that says, no friggin' way to new taxes. And, oh, by the way, the tax receipts, last year they grew a little bit, but not very much. So we're not growing our way out of this. So we've got this $100 bill, and we're not going to tax it. And, oh, by the way, if we borrow it all, we start borrowing $100 billion a month, boy, I don't know who the hell's going to come up with that. And if they do, you're going to have to pay them more to get it, which means the interest rate's got to go up. So that's sort of a problem.
Well, you got the $250 billion that you need to rebuild LA with.
Well, on top of that, yeah. So I'm saying, so now you've got...
And $100 billion probably for North Carolina and other areas of Appalachia.
But you and I are in total agreement, on what the Fed ought to be doing and should have been doing since day one, since I was in Milton Friedman's class, for God's sake. But they haven't done that. Now, for this guy to pick up the phone and say, hey, Donald... I'm not helping you anymore. We're going to a 1% money supply growth. It's up to you as the president, which you should be, you and the other idiots in Congress. It's up to you to either figure out to tax it or to borrow it, because I'm not helping you. That phone call is a fart in church.
Yeah.
In a small church. I mean, what is he going to do, fire the guy the next day? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I'm saying you and I know that's what ought to happen over... should have been happening for the last 40 years and for the next 40 years. It hasn't been happening, but all of a sudden start today. What does the world look like?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think all of a sudden investors, if they heard Powell say that they're going to grow, you know, M2 at 1%, you know, maybe using some sort of smooth average, I think investors would automatically readjust. And you know, I think interest rates, I'm not sure what would happen, honestly.
They'd have to go to the moon.
I think investors would think, all right, we're going to have a deep recession because they're not going to be able to spend it. And the, you know, the government's going to have to issue a bunch of debt. That's going to probably raise interest rates.
The 10-year rate.
The Fed's not buying them, right?
The 10-year rate at the next auction, instead of being 4.7, will be 6.2. Minimum.
I think that's what has to happen. I think the Fed has to say, "Look, we're not gonna enable you anymore. We're not gonna be your drug. We're not gonna be your drug seller. We're not gonna sell any more drugs. The time of us selling you cocaine is over. We're not selling it anymore."
If the guy wasn't willing to tell that to Biden, he sure as hell is gonna tell it to this guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's what has to happen.
Do you remember? I don't know why I remember this. When Trump was in the first time, and Powell first got in, he started fighting this. He started cutting back on money supply growth.
Yeah.
And Trump, remember, Trump invited him to the White House?
Yeah.
And when he walked out, I'm sitting
Trump was right during the election. He was telling everybody that the Fed created a fake economy, which I agreed with.
But
then as soon as he became president, he reversed course pretty quick.
Well, he came out, and I don't know whether they waterboarded him or paddled him or something. He reversed course the next day, and he's been pouring money in ever since. So somebody must have said, we know where your kids are or something.
Yeah, but you know, if you remember during the midterm election, it's Trump's first midterm election, the Fed, that's when they started raising rates up pretty dramatically.
Yeah, and that's when this happened.
Yeah.
But somehow or other.
It probably was the reason why the House changed. It probably contributed to that.
But they read him the Riot Act, and he's been pouring money in ever since.
So Powell kept, but he did raise those rates, and I don't think he's very quick to lower them. He might have stopped raising the rates, but he raised them pretty dramatically right before that election. And it probably contributed to the change of leadership in the House.
Well, the chances of that guy coming out.
Because I think the market dropped 20% at that point.
Yeah,
right.
And for that,
people are upset.
It was the end of 2008, right? Yeah. Not 2008, 2018.
Yeah, 2018. Yeah,
I mean, but the chances of him coming out this afternoon, and
well, I think it's pretty clear that Powell does not like Trump at all. So I don't think Powell's gonna
He's going to come out. He's not going to raise rates tomorrow, I think.
Yeah,
he's going to come out, and the first question is going to be, "You didn't raise rates. The president wants lower rates. The president wants you to lower rates." And for him, if he comes out and says, "Well, you know, I just got off the phone with the president because he calls everybody right away, and I told him I'm going back to 1% money supply growth." And you fix it, you in Congress, because you created it. I'm not helping you. I cannot imagine that being his answer.
Well, honestly, I wish that was his answer.
Well, me too. But I mean, everybody thinks...
I'm actually praying for it.
But, I mean, they'll have him out of there in a second.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they can fire him. His position is
they
set
They can threaten
for,
his family, for God's sake. I mean, those people... You know what those people make?
Somebody floated this idea on Twitter, I think it was last night. I was going through Twitter, and somebody said something like, yeah, Frank Church, the senator that had the Church investigations during the 1970s, the senator from Idaho, he caught a really virulent form of cancer, and he died pretty quickly. The Church Commission.
Yeah, I don't think those people, what I understand from my Fed people, they don't make as much as a lot of people work at the Fed. I'm going to say, I don't know. I should check this. I'm going to say 100.5 to be on a governor, maybe.
The governor of?
A Fed governor.
Okay, yeah. Well, there's some positions at the Federal Reserve that are paying $450,000 a year.
I understand that, but I'm saying the people, I think there's people there to make more than Powell.
Yeah.
Anyway,
are you going to
take the entire abuse of Trump's mega army by saying the right thing? And why would anybody do that for that kind of money?
Well, I think he's got a lot of... I mean, if you really think about what the media is, the corporate media, NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, they're all pretty much anti-Trump. And Powell has a lot of friends.
There's no way...
So if Powell becomes anti-Trump and says, hey, we're growing the money supply at 1%, he's got a lot of friends in that.
No way. No way.
And there's a lot of academics, too. There's a lot of academics. Most of academia is probably left at center.
I got news for you.
You have a lot of friends.
I would fear the people who are the people who have money a lot more than they fear a bunch of academics.
I mean, I think the billionaires have come
you guys don't have I'm just saying, we're not even on the same page.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's but what makes either one of us think that after 40 years of this, I mean, We after the 70s and 80s, 60s, 70s, 80s fiasco, I'm going to say we behaved till about 2000. We behaved for 17, 18 years. And
I think Volcker did a pretty good job of kind of reining in a little bit.
Yeah, that was the mantra. Yeah. But once 2000, they poured the money in for Y2K and to solve some of the problems with the market crash there. And once they started to see how good it felt, they just kept going. You look at money
supply. I think once they realized that they can trap a lot of the inflation, the banking system, with interest on reserves, they just went hog wild. I mean, I think that's the reason why we have these massive increases in deficits and in national debt is because I think they thought they found the golden egg, right, with this interest on reserves. They could trap it. All that money they print, they could just trap it. But they've discovered that they can't because they've got even bigger bubbles. A guy on Twitter was telling me that the housing prices is not a bubble. I'm like, dude, it's a bubble, man. There's no way you can't tell me it's a bubble. It just hasn't popped yet.
I'm going to push back on that a little bit. I'm not going to push back, but you tell me if I put this on a paper and send it to you. This housing thing has gotten a little weird, right? Because you're back in the 2007 when the housing prices got to be, you know, 235, 240 somewhere. That was the standard rate for a house. I mean, what do you want to call it? The mean?
Median
rate. Yeah. And of course, I had this discussion with our lovely guest on Monday, Audrey, who, you know, likes real estate and loves houses. God, if she could see a house and she could walk through and check it out tomorrow, we'd have to pull a car over. And I, of course, have no interest. But she, but I mean, you know, that's her doing that is like me, you know, looking at a stock. You know, she wonders why I do it, and you know, whatever. And
we all have a different passion.
But you know what? But she absolutely loves it. Absolutely loves it. And that's why the people that she does business with love her. Because she actually cares, and when you buy a house, she's happy for you. If the house fits you, the enthusiasm just, you know, it's like radiant in a room. You know, it really is. But I said, you know, Odd, we got an issue here. When I say we, the country has an issue, is that 85%, I might as well tell a little bit of the full story. At 235, if somebody gave you the $47,000 for the 20% down payment back when people put 20% down, if you got that from Grandma Snar, and you walked in the bank with that check, you needed $85,000 a year income. This is, you know, maybe you got the wife working this, but you need $85,000 a year to buy that house after somebody gave you the down payment. Now that was the insurance back then, which is like probably doubled. That was the taxes back then, which have probably doubled at least. So that's what you needed. But the problem is, $85,000 a year, only 15% of the population made $85,000 a year. So my concern was, okay, you've got a median home price where only 15% of the population can deal with it. So I have a feeling that would have been an A paper in your room for me to come up with that. And guess what? 2007, 2008... those prices came flying back down to maybe the 165 range, 170, right? Didn't that where median prices dropped to? Now, if you just bought one at 235, you know, you're up, you know, bleep creek without a paddle, obviously. But that's what happened. Well, now it's a little different. You know, I think is that because we had a couple articles written by what tells the guy's name? He's on TV all the time. That what Trump needs to really do is to lower housing prices. Is to build 2.5 million houses because we don't have the supply. Now, you and I, if we're on the chalkboard and doing graphs, you better than me because you're the professor. That sounds infinitely intelligent, but I don't think it is, because right now, because of the inflation, the silent inflation, I say silent because it's not in the CPI. I don't think if the house is ballooned up to 400,000 right now, that maybe should be 320, which is where you're going, that there's a bubble there. I don't think you can duplicate the damn thing for 400, because the prices of all the stuff that go into it that nobody looks at in the CPI or the CPI lies about. For you to build a new house, it's going to cost you $400,000. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going to say that Audrey just sold a house for I actually walked through it for 360. She sold it. The people sold it. She did the deal. Now, I'm going to say 5 years ago the house was 280. I don't think you and I can put it back together for 360. So this inflation around it is so much. There's not just a housing bubble. There's a carpenter price bubble. There's a 2x4 price bubble that goes right along. I don't think I've ever seen that before. Have you?
Yeah, it's well, we've seen it in other parts of history. Right.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like
it's kind of unique. I think in the United States,
it's not like 2008, where if the housing price, where maybe you could have actually put the damn place back up for 165. Now you can't.
You know, this is an interesting interesting conversation or hear the interesting dialogue, because if you think about, if the rules were the same, you know, the housing rules, mortgage rules were the same as they were in 2006, what do you think home prices would be right now? Would they be even higher? Because of the people, you know, buying a house, holding it for 2 years, hoping to make 20% off of it.
Well, right? nobody can do that now, because
it's really difficult to
do that. Well, if you've got a 3% mortgage, you can't go anywhere.
Yeah. So, I mean, if the rules, the mortgage rules were the same as they were, identical to they were in 2006 and 2007, and there was no changes, Dodd-Frank.
What do you mean?
It'd be interesting to find out what those prices would be.
Nancy was not going to be here for 2 weeks, but when she comes back in, you guys should be on together. She can get you in a place with 5% down easy.
Well,
you'll be an event. I bet she can get you in for three.
The VA VA got me into this house in North Carolina with with almost nothing down.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's that much different than 2007. Yeah. You just don't have the flurry.
But not everybody's got access to VA home loans.
No, but I'm saying if you got the scratch hole right now, I mean, if you want to get in, you qualify. You can get in. Just nobody's doing it. Nobody's buying a house for $400,000 thinking they're going to sell it for $420,000 next week.
And well, you know, especially with the mortgage rate still about 6-7%, right?
Yeah, but I'm saying I don't think there's that much difference. They might be being more careful who they give them to, but I don't think the actual numbers are any different.
Yeah. Well, let's just hope Powell comes out and says, "Tough, we're going to grow the money supply at 1% a year." That'd be great. I'd be celebrating that.
I'll tell you what, if that happens, I'm going to go out to the racetrack and see if I can be a jockey to see for him.
Well, you know, I'm kind of hoping interest rates come down, so the VA will automatically refi me down to a lower interest rate, but I might have to delay that. But I would still be pretty happy if Powell came out and told Trump, no, I'm not gonna lower interest rates. I'm going to grow at 1%. You and Congress got to figure out how you're going to cut this thing.
Well, I was on I think I was ever invited back. I was on Joan Esposito, terrific lady. She still does. I mean, she used to do Channel 7 news and stuff way back in the day. And anyway, she does a fairly liberal show now, and I was a guest for a while. And I think one day I never got invited back, where she's talking about she doesn't have any debt. And I said, well, it's, you know, congratulations on that. I said, but by the way, we all sort of have some debt. And she goes, what do you mean? I said, well, every taxpayer owes the federal government $250,000.
Yeah.
I don't think I was invited back because of that. But, you know, and I really like her. I used to enjoy doing the stuff. But, I mean, it was like, you know, it was like the stuff nobody wanted to hear.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, and in most shows, you don't want to hear that. I mean, you really don't. I mean, the people who listen here want to know the truth, I think. Other people don't want to know that. I mean, you know, the tax decrease you just got, well, you didn't really get it. Now it just piles onto somebody else's part, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, I think young people are really open to, you know, they've heard one perspective all through high school for the most part. Maybe it's mixed in with the parents. Maybe some parents are conservative, some parents are progressives. And so what young people hear goes along with what they hear in the public schools, but for others it doesn't. But no matter what, I think a lot of young people, when they go off to college, especially the ones that go to college, they tend to be on the left. And I don't know if they know why, but that's just kind of what they know. And they'd come into my office at Westminster, which is a very liberal campus, And they come to my office and they'd say, you know what? I don't agree with you, Hal. And I go by Hal. I don't go by Dr. Snar. I go by H-Dog, too. But they'd come into my office
and say, why don't you go by Dr. Hal?
I go by H-Dog, Hal. I didn't get a PhD to get a title. I did it because I wanted to teach. But they come into my office and they say, you know, I don't agree with you, but it's really interesting to hear these things that you say, because I've never heard of it before. Nobody ever mentioned the kinds of things that you mention, and I think young people are really open to it, and I think they spent the last 4 years going, you know what, I don't know if I like the way the country's going, and so they rolled the dice for Trump, and we'll see if he keeps that group of young people. And I think if Powell just comes out and says we're going to grow M2 at 1%, I think we have a shot of saving this thing, saving this experiment. If Trump bullies him and Powell lowers interest rates and and uncorks the inflation that is temporarily trapped in the banking system, I don't know what's going to happen. I think the inflation is going to take off.
Okay, so, now, as a professor, you know, you're not an ivory tower guy. You're more of a blue collar kind of professor.
Well, I grew up in Idaho. My parents went bankrupt twice.
I can't imagine, from what I see of Trump's personality, which, don't get me started on that, but I still hope he's my president.
Well, you got to admit, he's a pretty funny guy, and he's got a lot of energy. I mean,
oh, he's got huge energy. And
Joe Biden would be sleeping at the beach, right?
And I think a lot of the stuff he's doing, the other side pushed way too far. And I think a lot of stuff he's doing, I'm going to say I don't like the idea of the presidential orders, or you want to call them, because I think they're all useless, to be honest with you. I was reading some guy the other day saying, they're not funded. I mean, you can say everybody's going to get $1,000 in the mail, but he can't do that. He can say it. He can give the order up, and nobody's going to write the check.
I think he can sign an executive order, you know, changing, like, diversity, equity, and inclusion.
That he can do. But I'm saying most of the stuff...
He can reinstate military members and give them back pay. I mean, I really like the fact...
I don't think if there's a check written, I don't think any of that money's got to come from someplace.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any.
Well, I don't know. I hope those military members that were forced to get the vaccine, who didn't
I agree with
were
that.
Were fired. I hope they get their back pay, and I hope they get reinstated.
I do too. But I mean, I was totally against that when it happened. Like I said, me being in the middle, I get to agree with stuff on both sides. Nobody's supposed to do that.
Yeah,
you're only supposed to be one side or the other.
That's the problem with That's the problem with social media, is that you got your silo and I got my silo, and the two silos just, you know, complain at each other. They don't agree on anything. They hate each other, right?
Yeah, which
I try not to do that on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it.
I can't do that. But what I'm saying,
I try to have conversations with people.
But follow this through a little bit. If Paul says to him, we're growing money supply at 1%, I'll give him 2%. We'll grow to 2%. That's it. We're not helping you.
Yeah.
The man has gone crisscross the country, shouted from the highest mountain how he's lowering taxes, he's doing this, he's doing that. There's no way he walks out tomorrow morning and says, the Federal Reserve guy says he's not going to help me out, so by the way, not only not lowering taxes, I'm raising it. No way that happens with that man's ego and with his followers. No way that happens. Yeah. How can
I don't think he's going to raise taxes. I don't think he'll do it at all.
No. I'm saying. Yeah. He's not going to let next year... the tax decrease he put in before, they go back to the old rates, right? Or a lot of them.
Well, yeah. If they don't extend the 2017 tax law changes, they resort because they got a sunset clause in them, right?
They'll
sunset back to 2016.
Why can't we? By the way, S&P futures up 8, NASDAQ futures up 40. Everything else is kind of where we were when we did the last break. Why can't we have a certain amount, and this is a sort of interesting, when I was on the board of the SIBO, we used to have people in for breakfast, and the politicians, if they came through town. But everybody would say, I don't know what happened since the 90s, or maybe some whatever. Whoever was in town, we'd invite them over. We had Tom Foley, we had Phil Graham. We had Danny Rostenkowski. I got to meet. I mean, they wouldn't know me if they walked by the sidewalk with me, especially since most of them are dead. But, you know, they come in, and I think the most you could give them was $500 and a cup of coffee and some scrambled eggs. That was it. And they'd sit down, and they'd learn about your business. You'd ask them questions. And I thought, me being the naive soul that I was, this is fantastic. This is America. This is somebody showing up, meeting people they don't know, learning about their business, learning what would affect them badly or help them or something. And if I was one of those guys, I would, every city I went to, I'm not going to do four breakfasts in a day, but I'd do that to wherever I could, because how many businesses I don't know anything about? That to me was, but Danny Rostenkowski, somebody asked a question about capital gains. And he goes, this is the most screwed up thing. It's been here since I've been here. And he was chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, so he was a powerful guy. He goes, why capital gains is, he goes, if you buy something for a year and there's no inflation whatsoever and you make money on it in a year, you pay half the taxes. He goes, that makes no sense to me. He goes, if you bought it 30 years ago and the inflation is such that you bought it at $50, you sold it at $100, and the inflation was 60% or was double that, you didn't make anything. He goes, why don't we have a capital gains tax that is indexed to such a way where it makes some sense, where every year we look at the inflation, and that if you bought something in 1958, this is the tax you have to pay on it. If you bought it in 59, he goes, why is this all or none? He goes, every time I tried to bring this up, I got nowhere. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's things we could do to the tax law. I mean, the idea that if you croak and give your stock to your son or daughter and you paid 2 cents for it, now it's trading for 2,000, nobody ever pays the taxes. That, I think, is insane. Now, but I don't want that person to pay full taxes on it either. You've owned it forever. Why not say if you bought it in 1952, by the way, your tax is going to be 12% or whatever. I mean, it shouldn't be on the whole amount, I don't think, because the inflation has carried that away. But it shouldn't be zero either, I don't think. Do you?
Well, I just don't believe that property should be taxed, especially with the Fed being able to create inflation like it does.
Well, if you don't do it, look what happens.
Yeah.
All the profit, all the wealth building in this country in the last 10 years, I might say all, virtually all of it is in asset price increases.
Yeah.
So how do you some guy makes somebody buys something for $500, the Fed runs the stuff up and 3 years later he sells it for $4,000. He doesn't have to pay anything, but the poor guy who actually making $20 an hour for however many hours that would be, 200 hours, he has to pay tax?
Yeah.
I mean, how unfair is that?
I thought about how the federal taxes could be shifted, and I was thinking maybe we ought to go to consumption tax, but, you know, they have the tax on cigarettes in New York State. The cigarette taxes are so high in New York State that the black market is bigger than the legitimate market. I actually had a student at A&T.
When you say the black market, they go to a different state?
Well, here's how it works. I had a student that told me this. She goes down. She would go down. This is back in 2008, before Eric Garner, 2009 or 10. She was still in my macroeconomics class. She'd go to the Indian reservation and buy cigarettes in North Carolina tax-free in just massive boxes. She'd ship those boxes tax-free. Well, she bought them tax-free. She would ship them to her uncle in Long Island, who would then sell them tax-free in a black market. So that's kind of how it works. But the black market is much
bigger.
People
in Oregon go right across the border in Indiana. It's not tax-free, but it's a lot cheaper.
Yeah, the black market is so much bigger than... And that's the same thing with marijuana.
I don't think it's that much bigger at all. There's still a zillion people in Manhattan that run into the drugstore and buy their pack.
Yeah, but there's a guy selling Lucy's out in front of those stores, too.
Yeah, but he's the one who buys it inside and sells them to Lucy's.
No, he's buying them from the guy that gets them tax free from.
How many professors even know what a Lucy is?
I don't know, but when I saw Eric Garner, I was like, "Why are those cops like, you know?"
Well, you know how I know what a Lucy is. Are you there?
Lucy's in another store.
You know,
cutting into the business.
The reason why the guy who helps me out here, my assistant and partner at PTI. Which helps you with all the discretionary trades. He was on jury duty. And there's this guy who was selling Lucy's over on 47th and Indiana or someplace.
Yeah.
And some guy thought that he was encroaching on his turf, even though it probably was, you know, whatever. Guy goes home on his bike, comes back with a hatchet, and whacks the guy in the face with a hatchet.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I said, Larry, what the hell is a Lucy? Lucy means you go into the store and you pay whatever it is, $8 for the cigarette, you come out and you sell somebody what?
Yeah, but you get a higher margin, Tom, if you buy it from a guy.
This
like
guy wasn't this guy capable of driving in Indiana. He was just going in there and buying the thing for a buck a cigarette and selling it to somebody in the street who wanted just one.
But those margins aren't very high. You got to find the guy that got the cigarettes.
I get it.
Got him tax free.
But it's still a Lucy is selling less than a pack.
Yeah. But what's going on in New York is the cigarettes are coming in from out of state, and they're not marked. Like they've been taxed. So they're untaxed cigarettes that are being sold mostly on the streets.
Yeah, but if it's a Lucy, who knows? How can you tell?
Yeah, who knows?
I guarantee you that if I just said, hop in the back seat, we're going to Indiana, I'll get them for you cheaper than walking inside. Now the question then is, would the place who owned the guy who owned the place let the guy out front selling the Lucy's if he didn't buy them inside? Now that's another issue.
Or what, you know, if you jump in the guy's car, you're probably not going to have a wallet. And you're probably going to be tossed out the side of the road, right?
Well, it's, you know, I'd have a guy next to me holding, you know.
Well, you know, the mayor was getting so much pressure from this that he created these goon squads to go around parts of the city and bust everybody selling Lucy's, right? And then he was outraged when he saw the videotape of his goon squad choking Eric Garner. Right.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. But that's the problem with the consumption tax. It's, you know, 15%. Is you're probably going to drive, you know, a lot of goods are going to be sold illegally in a gray market or in a black market. So what do? You really can't do a consumption tax. So maybe you have to do a transaction tax.
Well, we when I took.
And you can't do a tariff because I looked it up yesterday. The total value of imports that we, you know, products we bring to the United States is about $4 trillion. So if you do 100% tariff, you're only going to raise, you know, assuming that tariff doesn't reduce the amount of imports people purchase, if you do 100% tariff, you're still not going to raise enough money to cover, you know, the budget.
Well,
so.
See, now you can't be doing that, Hal, in today's world. That's why you're locked in a show like this, where we actually talk about this stuff. Now, you can't be doing it. You don't want to be telling a Trumper that about tariffs because it's not.
You can't levy a 50% tariff. You levy a 50% tariff, you're going to get fewer imports, which means you're not going to collect a half of $4 trillion. You're not going to collect $2 trillion. You might collect $1 trillion because you're going to reduce the amount of goods that come in the United States. It's basically a consumption tax on goods that were produced outside the United States boundaries and sold in the United States.
Oh, I got one for you here. You're not going to believe this. I'm going to this U.S. debt clock where they keep adding stuff. They now have a Doge clock on here.
Mm.
What the hell? Doge clock. The Department of Government Efficiency Advisory Commission, real-time savings objective from reducing government waste, fraud, and abuse. This is their savings objective. They claim they've already saved, this is their objective, $29 billion or something. Anyway, for those who,
a roundoff error.
When I read this thing, what was it? Was it Catch 22 or was it? What was the wacky government department? It was the Department of something. I'll think of it while I'm looking at this thing. But when the government does two things at once, or was the Department of Redundancy Department? That's what this Doge thing looks to me. I think it was the Department of Redundancy Department, wasn't it?
Well, I hope that Enterprise is fruitful. Let's just say that.
So we have.
I don't expect it, but I hope it is.
You probably know. You'll know this, but I don't know if the listeners maybe want to listen. That's what listeners do. Total U.S. federal tax revenue. What do you think it is per year?
It's probably $4 or $5 trillion.
$5 trillion. Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. Income tax, 2.6. Payroll, 1.7. Payroll is, you know, almost as high, but not far off from the income tax, right? So for people to say those people don't pay any taxes without using the term income tax are stupidos, and they have some kind of a, you know.
Well, payroll taxes are very regressive too,
right? And then
at a certain level of income, you don't the rich don't pay any more. They don't pay any more on their
right.
payroll tax.
So guess what? Tariff tax revenue is.
I don't know, maybe $100 billion or something, maybe $200 billion.
$73 billion.
Okay.
So the idea that, you know, and again, you know, Kevin and I joust about this all the time, and I. That he'll say Trump never said that, and my point is it doesn't matter what he said. The communication was there. MAGA people, a lot of the Trump supporters are convinced that if they're going to make so much money on these tariffs, that somehow or another their taxes are going to not go up or even go down. Yeah. That's what's being heard. I mean,
the left is engaging in hyperbole too. Like AOC, Sunday, she was like talking about how if the tariff is put in place on Colombia, our coffee will go up. Our coffee wouldn't go up because Colombian coffee only represents 8% of the market. So if we slap a tariff only on Colombia, we'll stop buying Colombian coffee. The price of Colombian coffee will go down. Europeans will switch to Colombian coffee. Maybe Europeans were buying all from Brazil. So instead of Brazil selling to Europe, they're selling to us. It's a world market. Basically, what's going on here is we're taking sand from the north side of the beach, we're putting it on the south side of the beach. It doesn't change the amount of sand because this is a world market.
It's going to go up. If we were to do what they used to do on
Blackboard, if we just tariff Colombia, coffee prices wouldn't change.
They change a little bit.
Yeah, maybe a little bit, right?
Because the money from the tariffs coming.
It's not going to go. Coffee prices aren't going to go up 25% if we slap 25% tariff.
If you're correct and it's a total substitution. And all of a sudden, we don't buy any Colombian coffee, and it goes all to Europe. The fact that we're going to buy 8% more of other people's coffee without a tariff, that price is going to go up there, correct?
Well, no, because we're buying coffee from a nation that was selling it in Europe. Europe is now buying the coffee from Colombia. They don't need to buy it from Brazil.
I mean, Milton Friedman gave me this assignment,
and
all of a sudden, the $10 that we used to buy Colombian coffee, we don't go there anymore. We go to some other place and buy it somewhere else. Now our demand increases there. The price from there is going to go up a little bit, correct?
Yeah, but they're not supplying Europe anymore. They're
supplying but I'm saying somewhere along the line, if to the extent you're saying there'd end up being no tariff revenue whatsoever.
There'd be no tariff revenue, no.
Well, I think there would be.
I don't think there would be.
If people
really like Colombian coffee,
it would
and,
it be,
goes, and yeah. they want to drink Colombian coffee. They'd be paying the tariff.
I know, but it would
but
be
most coffee drinkers will just switch to Brazil.
All right, so it's whatever money the government gets came out of somebody's hide.
Yeah, but that's the funny thing is MAGA thinks that if we slap 25% tariff on Colombian coffee, we're going to collect that 25%.
That's because
it's not going to happen.
No, but
because
a lot
Colombia will start selling coffee to some other nation. And we'll buy coffee that was being sold in Europe. We'll buy it from that nation.
Okay, but
the tariff revenue is not going to go up.
What the message here is
the price of coffee is not going to change.
What's $73 billion of $5 trillion? Is that not even 1% of the revenue?
Yeah. Well, again, we import about $4 trillion in goods. So there's no way that we could tariff our way out of getting rid of the income tax.
Well, you and I know that.
Yeah.
I'm saying, but how many people go and check this stuff?
Yeah. But that's the problem with MAGA, and that's the problem with the left.
Sure
is. All they think is from A to B. If we go from A to B, then C, D, E, and F are going to happen, right?
It's the idea, if you've got these messages and you've got these people, whichever side it is.
Ceteris is not paribus. That's the fatal flaw of people's thinking.
The idea is It's kind of interesting. Kevin and I were at a discussion the other day, and he fact-checked me. I don't know if he fact-checks Trump like he does me, but I actually don't mind it. I love it because I actually like to be telling the truth almost all the time.
Yeah, I want to find out if I said something incorrect.
Yeah, I mean, I want to ax you this. Ax you this, Professor.
Just don't ax me. I want to keep my hand.
Or no, I'm going to hit your face. Oh, you got all of this. I said to the guy, Larry, I said, well, what does the guy look like after getting the hatchet in the face. The guy goes, they took him to county hospital. They've got some fantastic plastic surgeon over there.
It's right where his beard line.
Oh yeah, it's right where his beard line is because you can't even tell by looking at him.
Wow.
They did such a beautiful job on the guy. Well, that part's good, but the everybody.
But this is an example why going to war with the cartels is ridiculous. Because if you take out all the cartels with the United States military, guess what's going to happen? There's still demand.
Yeah.
They're going to satisfy that demand. And the suppliers that replace the ones that are off the United States military are going to replace them.
See, you and I have a fundamental disagreement on this, though. When I say there's crime and punishment, and I get the part where if it's, you know, if it's alcohol, you know, like Prohibition, when just about everybody wanted a drink, It's one way or another. But you can't say, you know, put it this way. If I was Robert and a guy, my friend from the Board of Trade, or Board of Trade, from the Federal Reserve, we were donating, somebody had a whole bunch of shelves, right? So we had my Suburban, we're taking them out to this. We had a lady on the air before, tells her name, Sister something something. There's four nuns that work out there, and they do all this incredible work, and they were looking to get the school back up and open, so we donated all these shelves and stuff, so we haul them out there. And there's a guy standing in the middle of the street, an orange blazer, and he's the drug guy a block away, right? It's a horrible neighborhood. And, you know, you can say, oh, if you arrest them, there's another guy there 20 minutes later. Okay, you can say that, but these people are not stupid. I don't believe there is such a thing as a stupid human being. But so if the next guy comes up and he disappears, and the next guy comes up and he disappears, and a week later somebody says, hey, what happened to the 40 guys? We put out there and say, well, we got a new prison in North Dakota, and these guys are all picking stuff up on the highway for the next 5 years. Do you want to be next? You can do these things if you want to. In Saudi Arabia, they'll cut your hand off. I mean, I don't think we want to do it. But the thought that you can't do this, yes, you can if you want to.
Well, I think the better thing would be to do, it would be to just say, look, you're an adult. You want to do it? Fine. We can't get rid of the demand. And I think if you made it legal, guess what's going to happen? All these companies will get in the business of producing the cleanest, highest quality party drug of all time. It will drive the price down. Will go through the roof. Will go down.
I totally disagree with that. Not, you know, with marijuana and
drug war
and booze.
Just doesn't work.
Okay, but there are some drugs that if guys as sober as you and me, when I'm going to say sober, it's not like I don't like having a drink once in a while. You could give us Oxycontin or something like that. I don't even think we could withstand it. I mean, some of this stuff is so addictive.
But they can buy it now, Tom.
Okay, but my point is, if every single time you found that guy and you killed him, like they would in Saudi Arabia, don't tell me we can't stop it. We're not willing to, and I'm not either. I wouldn't want to do that either.
You know, here's the funny thing. If we go back in time and we don't do Nixon's war on drugs, marijuana doesn't get five times more potent. We probably don't see meth. We probably don't see blue magic or whatever it's called. We probably have cocaine and marijuana in the form that they were in the 1960s. The chemical compounds would probably not have changed.
Stuff you buy from these medical places is way stronger than the stuff in the 60s.
And that the pharmacies maybe would be selling like really high quality cocaine. If you want to drink it or eat it or shoot it up or burn it, I don't know what you do with it. You can do it. It probably wouldn't have changed. See, what happens when you ban something like that, you make it illegal, it always gets concentrated. When they did an alcohol ban, prohibition, they stopped selling beer and wine and they started selling moonshine. Why? It's a concentrated form of alcohol that can be cut with, you know, water or whatnot, but it's highly concentrated and it makes the distribution easier. And so when we went into this war on drugs, what did the people supplying the drugs do? They concentrated.
If every one of those person was dead, we would have won the war on drugs.
Yeah, but we're not going to kill them all.
I know. I'm saying
somebody always step up, and the more we kill, the more violent.
By the way, you know I'm not advocating that, but I'm saying this idea that we can't stop speeders. Yeah, you can pull them over, take their car.
Yeah.
I mean, duh. We're obviously not willing to do that.
People are using it, and it's illegal. That means government bans don't kill the demand. So what you do is you make it legal. Firms will supply these drugs, and they'll be very high quality.
The reason why we're arguing
they'll
here
be
is
clean. They won't be poisoned with fentanyl.
The reason why
and it'll drive the cartel will have no money. They'll go bankrupt.
The reason why we're having this argument is, I don't know why, but once in a while I drive through like
exchange of opinions.
Well, no, but once in a while I drive through a real bad neighbor in Chicago, like all the time, right?
Yeah.
And some of the people I see walking along. Now I think they're in their 30s, but it's really hard to tell.
I mean,
we're talking, they don't look right. Looks like a lot of teeth are missing. We're talking about something like that, crystal meth. We're talking about something that, I mean, you and I can be drink too much alcohol and if we don't really burn our liver out or don't kill ourselves in a car crash, we can go off the booze when we're 35 or 40. We still have our teeth. This stuff is so powerful that I don't think these people even know what hit them. So if I can find a way to come down on the person who sold it to them, I'm all for it. Yeah. And and if they disappear into some prison in Wyoming for 5-10 years, nobody sees or hears from again, I really don't have a problem with it. And I'm not Mr. Law and Order.
I agree with that approach, but the problem is there's demand. And as long as there's demand, there'll be a supplier.
But they created the demand. Why was there such demand for cigarettes in my parents' generation where half the people died from them? Because everybody in the war got them for free. Right?
Yeah.
They created the demand. They created the addiction.
Yeah.
I mean, if you walk down the street and said to somebody, give me $500 for a shot of Oxycontin or crystal meth, you and I aren't going to do it. But somehow, someplace, if we're in a homeless camp and everybody, whatever, and all of a sudden somebody gives it to us 3 or 4 times, feels pretty good, we might be the next customer, right?
Well, but, you know, the natives were smoking, smoking all different kinds of things.
Europeans
come over and they like the taste of it, and they start growing it and they start exporting it.
I know some people who actually went down to Colombia, you're talking about, yeah, and went up in the mountains so they could smoke all the different stuff up there.
Yeah,
instead of stuff, what, peyote and all that. Instead of stuff, and I don't think it's anywhere near as strong. They're fine.
Yeah,
but I don't think
I'm saying is the war on drugs does what? It makes the selling, production of something illegal. In order to, sell it, you have to concentrate it. So if it wasn't for Nixon's war on drugs, I don't think you'd have these highly concentrated drugs. I think cocaine and marijuana would be like they were for, hundreds of years.
Well, cocaine,
I don't think they'd be in their current form.
I don't really care if somebody smokes some hooch. I mean, it doesn't bother me at all. But it really bothers me when I'm driving and I see smoke signals coming out of the car in front of me and the guy's going 90 miles an hour.
Oh, I know, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's without any way of testing anybody.
There's one thing I don't miss about New York is I smell the pot everywhere.
Oh,
driving.
In Chicago, you can't walk across the expressway. In the summertime, go through.
I cannot stand the smell of pot. All right. I prefer the smell of cigarettes to pot.
All right, we got 1 minute. What are we going to do about this AI thing? Is this going to shake its way out? Is it real? Is this just the
first
album?
Is open source, so I can see people, if what they did is actually as revolutionary as they're saying it is, I can see people just re-engineering it. So it's good, it brings down prices.
What does it do for NVIDIA and all these places that spends fortunes on
it? It destroys them, right?
Is that a good thing?
I mean, if it's legit, then these big companies that sunk all this money into chips and these massive training models just wasted a bunch of money.
What about the buying of the two nuclear reactors?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. All that's off the table now too, right?
Well, I don't know. They committed, didn't they?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, it might be good for us. Maybe we get a situation like in Norway where a big, huge nuclear power plant goes online and it's supplying so much power that prices actually go negative. That'd be great.
Well, I have to believe they got some kind of a deal with the power company that they could put the rest of it on the grid, don't you?
Yeah. Well, I think these companies like Google were talking about building their own private nuclear power plants.
Well, they're thinking about that, but somebody bought the one at Three Mile Island and somebody bought the one over in Michigan, Coloma.
Yeah. Well, if you really care about the environment, you'll want to make sure that you're, not burning up electric vehicles in L.A., and you'll want to have nuclear power plants.
They're saying a lot of those people now can't go back to their house.
Think about the carbon dioxide that was released and all the, the carbon dioxide that was released from those wildfires in L.A. and all that stuff that's going to wash into the ocean. All the burned up plastics and lithium and cobalt.
You see that one river where they had the rain and the river was just nothing but mush?
Oh man,
disgusting. They're saying people might not go back to their houses for a month because of the. The burned up hazardous material.
Well, now you
material.
Got the threat of mudslides, right?
Well, they also got hazardous materials in a lot of these houses.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's not a good situation. My buddy's house was saved. The fire department, him and his neighbors, the fire department was pouring retardant and water on him, and everybody's bitching about the fire department. He goes, these people did an incredible job. So,
yeah.
Anyway, have a good week. Are you you're locked in Carolina now?
What's that?
Where are you, Carolina? Are you back and forth?
Yeah, we're in North Carolina, Burlington. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out why I wanted to leave in 2013. I love it down here.
What about the wife? She likes it in Brooklyn.
Oh, she loves it too, yeah. She likes it better than Utah.
Well, there's a good comparison. I'm sure she liked it better than Idaho too, but anyway, SP Futures up 8, NASDAQ Futures up 36. Al, thank you. Good stuff as always. Talk to you next week.